1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3, we're going to be talking about closeness in marriage. Now, this is from the wives towards the husbands. And then for the husbands towards the wives, we'll be dealing with esteem and how a wife really does want esteem and the husband wants closeness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again. Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. And so there is, as we look at this, appreciate a man's desire for closeness. Men have a desire for closeness. Women have a desire for emotional closeness. And Satan will do everything he can to keep a couple together physically before marriage. But then he will do everything possible to keep them away from each other after marriage. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3, understanding that each spouse is to understand that we don't have control of our body. It's our spouse's, and we go back and forth. I don't have control of mine. She does, and she doesn't have control of hers. I do. And so there's that the equality of one another fulfilling the needs of each other. And so there's that emotional closeness. There's a physical closeness. And the two keys to understanding your husband is that a husband's desires are much different than a wife's desires. In Esther chapter 1, verse 10, we obviously see a lot of, there's the king here, and he wants to bring up his wife. He wants to bring up Queen Vashti. She's a very beautiful woman and very fair to look upon. In Esther chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, he wants to show off how beautiful she is. And there's a, when you think about this with men, there's a visual orientation, the needs of a man in the benefit of marriage, marital closeness, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. And without the benefit of marriage, the husband's going to come under increased attack. Now think about if the wife was not able to have the husband talk to her, listen to her. What if in the marriage there was not communication? And can you imagine husbands going without a time of talking to your wife? I don't think it would go so well. That time where you just sit down and you just bear your heart out and she knows that you're listening to her. Remember, as a golden rule, as a wife, you may feel that the two of you have to be close in order to have that connection, but for him, it's the reverse. The benefit of marriage is really what does bring that marriage close for the husband. And it was that with everything in the energizing cycle, as we have discussed, the rule never changes. You can't get what you need by depriving your partner of what they need. A dose of respect keeps the strange woman away. I'm going to give you an illustration here of this. A woman wrote to me after she figured out, this is not to me, the author, why she had an affair. She realized that her husband had been craving admiration just as she craved love from him. And the wife realized, I'd become so busy with life, kids, etc., that I had forsaken my husband in this area and left him vulnerable to attack from the enemy. He said he had been craving something, but he didn't know what it was until she began to give him what he was craving. His need for this was so strong that at one point during our separation, he was willing to give up everything, marriage, family, business, reputation, even his relationship with the Lord, just to continue feeling the respect and admiration he was receiving from this other woman. He had an extremely intense spiritual battle during this time because he knew what the right thing to do was. But he did not want to give up what he was receiving from her. God is helping me see my part in the breakdown of our marriage. My husband is a good-willed man, and I know that he loves me, and he knows that I love him. The marriage was turned around, especially when the wife began to speak words of respect towards her husband, and he literally, as it says, he was turned on edge towards her. There was a great attraction for his wife. And so when you think about some of the ways that a husband can potentially be tempted, here's some things that it's hard for. If your husband is being tempted in ways that maybe you're not being tempted, sometimes that openness of a husband towards their spouse can come across as very threatening. Maybe he does want to say, you know what, I'm struggling in a particular area, and I would like to be open with you about it. And he wants to, just as you know, a wife wants that emotional intimacy, those ideas of create feelings of love and admiration and esteem, as we're going to talk about here before too long. She's open many times to discuss maybe health issues, body image, weight control, fears, worries, other things. And but If a man decides to talk about what he's struggling with, it can be perceived in a way that you ought not to talk about that. Husbands may not don't struggle many times in the same way that their wives do. And so these struggles that a husband may desire to reveal to his wife can be uncomfortable, can help cause her to become upset and even threatened. And so in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, would you look with me here, Matthew 5, 28. Marriage really is about a give and take, honoring the other spouse. And there can come a time in a marriage where there may be struggles with a thought life. And here in Matthew 5, 28, the Lord Jesus Christ, and a wife might say, bring up these verses and say, well, that ought not to be a temptation for you. That ought to be a worry for you. And at the same time, a husband could say, well, the very same things you're dealing with, Scripture talks about that. That ought not to be a problem for you. And so when you think about this, this idea of trying to meet the needs of your spouse, in Matthew 5, 28, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. You know what God's saying in your very mind is where the battleground is. And maybe your wife wants to reveal some of her thoughts that are just really bothering her. And what if, as we grow in the Lord, obviously these thoughts can go away, but if we're finding ourselves struggling in the Matthew 5, 28 passage of Scripture, even Job 31, 1, I have made a covenant with mine eyes, why then should I think upon a maid? And there's this understanding as you, with insensitivity towards your wife, if this is something you're struggling with, talking to your wife about, you know what, I'm really struggling. Maybe there's someone at your workplace, and maybe they're the way that they're interacting with you. And as that husband was saying there, and that wife was giving that testimony, that story of her husband saying she was giving him what I wasn't giving him with respect to that admiration and respect. And that can happen in where you can say, you know what, this is happening in my workplace, and I'm struggling. There's this individual that begins to show me some affection that I'm really struggling, and maybe you're beginning to grow distant from your spouse, and it is important to talk about that, to have that openness to say, you know what, even if it may hurt, if he's willing to be open with me, that's a good thing. Because what it's saying is you know what, he really wants this marriage to work. He really doesn't. He's hurting, and he wants to say, you know what, I'm struggling in this particular area with my thoughts, and you're my best friend, and I understand there's some struggles there, and don't go into all the details, but with respect to being open with your spouse, saying I'm struggling. But it's also important, as we understand in 1 Peter chapter 3, we find that there is with the thought life, sometimes that thought life, as we see our society sensualizing many different things. I mean, they can take a bar of soap and somehow try to sensualize it. And that's why in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 2 through 4, it talks about the attire of a lady, and it just kind of, it doesn't go into detail on that, but there's this idea of understanding of wearing clothing that is not going to cause others to stumble. Now, fashionable. Fashionable clothing, I'm not saying that it has to be one way or the other. Obviously, you and your husband talk about it. But this idea is of trying to protect. And so, but Jesus understands this battle here. And on that, and our society likes to sell that which is forbidden, but God wants us to guard our minds, and men need to guard their eyes and their minds, but ladies can help the men with respect to this on dress standards, and I'm not going into dress standards or anything like that at this time, but many times because of a wife's reaction, the husband's saying she has told him not to be open. If he begins to say, I'm really struggling, and you begin to see maybe in her some jealousy or other frustrations, he realizes, whoa, I'm not touching that topic. That's a no-go for her. And I'm not saying you need to be guarded men if this is something you would struggle with, but a wife longs to receive her husband's closeness, openness, and understanding, realizing that he's going to protect me. But some of that time is saying, you know what, I'm really struggling in this one area, and maybe there is a lady at my workplace that is showing me some affection, and I'm struggling in my thought life with it. If it's too much of a struggle, I would say even be willing to step away from the job. But you can achieve this in two ways. Do your best to give your husband the needs. Let him know that you're trying to comprehend, that he is tempted in ways you don't understand. Allow him to talk about his struggles, and you know what? When you allow your husband to talk about his struggles, I guarantee it, you'll have an opportunity to be his friend, and there will be that emotional closeness that you're also desiring. Am I saying it's only about the husbands? No, it's both ways. Meeting the needs of your spouse. If you shame him, punishment, or deprive him, he's going to feel dishonored for who he is. If you feel that maybe you don't understand his struggle, his desire for you, and his maleness, he'll pull back from you. And so there's a sensitivity that really does need to be considered when dealing with this. And as you desire to meet the needs of your spouse. And so I'm going to go on to the next topic, but just when you think about these ideas of here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he's clear. And there's other passages of Scripture that I could go into at another time. But anyways, when you deal with these, just a willingness to sit down, and maybe it's a little bit difficult, but you know what? That openness in marriage is what will help. Now, obviously, try to understand the situation, understand some of the stresses that your spouse may be going with, but just say when you're ready, yeah, there's something I'd like to talk to you about. And begin to have that open communication, because marriage without open communication is going to have a lot of struggles and problems. Also, what the husband needs to show in this relationship here is an esteem. The wife wants the husband to honor her and cherish her. She wants to know that she has preeminence in his thought life. Now, maybe there's something in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, would you look with me here? There was a husband that came to this pastor, this counselor, and in the relationship, he says, you know, Pastor, my prayer life isn't what it should be. The pastor responds, how are you treating your wife? No, no, the husband says, you don't understand. My prayer life is not what it ought to be. Again, the pastor says, how is your prayer life? Or excuse me, how are you treating your wife? No, no, Pastor, I'm talking about my prayer life. I'm not talking about my wife. Pastor smiles and says, I am talking about your wife. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, look with me here. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessels, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. What does he say next? That your prayers be not hindered. You realize that if there is marital discord, your prayers will be hindered. God won't be answering you the way you're asking. There will be a strain in your relationship with God. You think marriage and getting along in marriage, having marital harmony, peace is important? Absolutely. Because it affects your spiritual life. And God wants husbands to lead their families and lead their wives in care and concern. And I'm talking about leading in the fact of I'm thinking about what she needs. I'm thinking about what the children need. And I'm going to try to meet those needs. Now, not wants, the needs, okay? But as we think about this, a couple principles are connected. And build them on your wife, and she will feel that you understand her. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29, it says, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. And here in this situation is that I gave that illustration of this husband talking to this pastor, saying, you know what? And the pastor saying, he's saying, my prayer life. And the pastor saying, what about your wife, your marital life? You see, that does affect you. And God wants a very close marriage where you talk and you can have a marriage that truly others look at and go, wow. Does it take time? Yes. But this is where, as God works on our hearts, and you know what? As God works on our heart, you should be growing closer to your spouse. If you're not, there's something wrong. And as we have discussed, and here's the last principle here in the couple analogy, C-O-U-P-L-E, closeness, openness, understanding, peacemaking, loyalty, and esteem. And the husband is to delight in his wife. As Song of Solomon chapter 7 verse 6 says, "How fair and how pleasant art thou, O love for delights." You know what? The wife ought to be the delight of the husband. Delighting in her, honoring her, cherishing her. She is my wife, my spouse, my best friend. Look with me at Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31:28. And sometimes we can say, well, an individual could say, well, you just don't know my wife. You don't know what she's like. Now, you don't know what I've had to put up with. And to the contrary, you could say, you don't know what she's had to put up with. In Proverbs chapter 31, 28 and 29, the wife's honor, the cherish, and how she wants esteem, Proverbs 31, 28 and 29, the Bible gives us this very clearly. It says, "Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all." He's praising his wife. And God has made women to be esteemed, honored, and respected. Now, that's a different respect than men desire, but treasuring our wives. There's a different kind of respect than the husband desires. It's more of an honor respect. As a part of a love, and it's kind of a respect, a love type respect. And it's a little bit different, but nevertheless, there's a praising of, and there's not that public, you know what, my wife did this. And you say that in a public setting, and what you're doing is saying that your wife, my wife did this, but it's some failure that she did. You don't want to do that in a public setting, because that's not showing that you esteem your wife. That's showing, you know, obviously, as Ephesians chapter 5, I'm to love my wife, and as I, you know, I love myself. And it talks about, no man ever yet treated his body. That's not the exact verbiage. But let me go there. I'm totally Ephesians chapter 5 here, just to make sure I get the verbiage correct. But Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 29, actually verse 28. "For so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." So a man nourishes and cherishes his own body, and he ought to do the same to his wife. And the husband has something in his nature to chair the relationship, not as being superior. Yes, the husband leads the family, but that leading is saying, you know what, I'm going to take into account, I'm going to treat my wife as I want to be treated. I'm going to treat my wife as I treat myself, nourishing and cherishing my own body. You know what? If you have a boss at work and someone, your boss at work, and your boss treats you in a way, and it was kind of a philosophy when I was in the military and I was an officer, they would teach us in leadership training about this idea of, you know, taking care of those whom you're leading. And I always put, if I'm not willing to do it, why would I ask someone else to do it? Unless, obviously, I don't have the ability to do it. And so in this very same figure here, as a husband's leading his wife and the family, he's trying to take, you know what, how would I want to be treated? And he's thinking the very same thing of protecting and caring for and giving security to his family and his spouse. You know, in a workplace, as I had, I kind of got rabbit trailed there. I do that quite a bit. You've probably noticed that. But anyways, in your workplace, if you have a boss that is thinking of your needs first, it makes it easier to follow them. It makes it a whole lot easier to say, you know what, to respect that boss. And the husband, and if you want to think about it here in Ephesians chapter 5, is just as a picture, would be like the Christ figure you find here, and Christ died for the church. The husband, so the wife is the church figure, and her husband's to die for her. The husband is to put his needs aside for making sure he's meeting the needs of his wife. But there's also, again, as I had stated with the husbands, there's that meeting of each other's needs. There's a physical closeness. There's an emotional closeness. And your wife doesn't want to chair the relationship, but she does want to be first in importance to the husband. The wife understanding that, you know what, knowing that when I'm making decisions and we're talking back, it's not that I'm making a decision, we talk back and forth. But in this discussion process, as we're going back and forth, that her needs are important. Honoring her, cherishing her. She needs to be cared for. And husbands, our wives want us to know that we have her on our mind and our heart, that she is first and foremost, even above the children. You love her, you respect her, and her respect motivates your love. Here's another thing. Children can make your wife feel like a failure. This is what the author says. Your wife needs your reassurance that she is a good mom. And we find here in Proverbs chapter 31, her children arise up and call her blessed. She wants you to know that you have confidence in her decisions that she is making. Look with me at Proverbs 29:15. Proverbs 29:15. Verse 15 of Proverbs 29, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself, what happens here? Bringeth his mother to shame. And husbands need to value their wives' efforts and commitments and prize her for the part that she is playing in raising of the children. Now, I don't know how you do that in your relationship, in your marriage, but it's saying here that our children can bring to shame. Look with me at another passage of Scripture, Proverbs 19:26. Proverbs 19:26. It says, he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. It's a rebellious child can bring a parent to absolute shame. Tension, conflict, and problems occur, and they need to be dealt with. And as the husband, you tie your self-image with who you are in the field, for instance. What's your job? And, you know, as I had stated before, when men come together, maybe you're meeting a gentleman for the first time, another man, and what do? Is the question, right? What is your job? But the image for a wife many times is tied with the family. And there was a illustration here of a career woman. She was the vice president of an airline company. And she said, at the end of the day, all that's important is that I know he loves me and values me. That's what I want more than anything else. She's tying her self-worth with her family, understanding that God made the husband and the wives differently. God made men and women different. And praise the Lord for that. And that's why it says in Genesis chapter 2, there's a help sufficient. They complete each other. They complete where a man is deficient in an area, the wife helps to complete that picture. And where a wife may struggle in an area, the husband completes that. And God uses those two together in a mighty way to raise children. And hopefully, Lord willing, as they submit to the Word of God, raise children to honor and love God. And that wife there, she said, you know, basically what I want more than anything else, what my value. And a man many times wants to feel that he's accomplished something in his workplace. Here's some things that a husband can do to show his wife esteem. Symbolic things help to bridge the gap with your wife to emotional openness and esteem with your spouse. Such things as, do you remember her birthday? Remember anniversaries, gifts, flowers, notes, other items for your wife throughout the year. Just some things to let your wife know, you know what, I'm thinking about you. And maybe it's just a text. Maybe it's a handwritten note. Just sit down and just think about the ways with which you're so blessed to have your wife. Maybe you're struggling with that, but I would encourage you to sit down and do that. It's healing. You see, birthdays and anniversary, women are the ones who have the children, and birthdays are important to them. As little kids, I remember my sister, you know, as they would, and even other young girls the church, they would talk about, you know, getting married someday and all of that, and important things, remembering birthdays and anniversaries. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 6, you find this principle, "Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness." It's talking about in the pain of childbirthing. That's the woman. That sounds bad. That is your wife that goes through that painful process. And so understanding, remembering these important dates. You came together, that closeness. How do I honor and cherish my wife? There's times that writing her a note, sometimes just randomly bringing some flowers back with a little note on it, or going on a spontaneous date. There's many different things that you can do with your spouse, and maybe it's not going to a restaurant. Maybe it's going for a hike in the woods and spending time together. Whatever you and your wife, whatever means a lot to her. But just spending time with her, honoring her and cherishing her. Here's an illustration. Just real quick, going back to the anniversaries. Guys, gentlemen, when you get married, do you talk about what you wore on your wedding day? What your hair was like? No? You're like, there was some good food there, right? Or something else. We're not talking about what we wore, what our hair looked like. But see, a lady may oftentimes talk about that because it's important to her. There's a difference in the way people think. I wore this dress. Oh, it was so beautiful. It was wonderful, blah, 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 blah. And we had these flowers. And the guy's like, flowers? I don't remember any flowers. Maybe there was. I don't know. Maybe you're different. But, things are different. And guys remember different things. But you know what? Our anniversaries are when God gave us a gift. Your wife is a gift from God. Remember that. And so cherish your wife. One man can buy his wife, one way you can esteem your wife, one man buys his wife a vehicle, the other man goes on a walk with his wife. They talk and share feelings on their walk, and as they're going along, maybe he picks up a rock or something else, and when he gets back, he takes that rock, and maybe he writes a little note to remember that time together. I want you, if you're thinking about this, if I was to ask the ladies, what would mean more to you? A walk together where he takes a rock or some memento of that great time of togetherness, and he begins to memorialize it somehow, and he gives it to you as a gift. Would that mean more than just buying a vehicle for you or buying something, whatever? If I was to ask you on that question, maybe husbands, you can ask your wife that. But is the thought you put into that gift, the card, the activity together? And here's one way the author gives is how to read your wife's mind. You ask the question, maybe Friday night, where do you want to go to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. And you go on in circles and circles and circles, right? And maybe your wife would be thinking, if he loved me so much, he'd know I don't want to. And then maybe you suggest, I don't want to go there. Have you ever been there? I've asked my wife, where do you want? I don't know. And then I realize in town here, there's a little bit less of a selection on some things, and depending upon the time of night. But where do you want to go? And you do select, and maybe your wife's wanting you to pick a place, knowing her, knowing what she would like. And it can be frustrating. But as we think about this in Ephesians 5:28, again, husbands, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And there is a part of Scripture that God is very clear. Yes, God has that where wives submit, but there's that, she's giving a deference to the husband to say, I'm going to let you lead us, realizing that you're going to take my needs and my cares into consideration, that you're going to put me first. You're going to cherish me. You're going to honor me. You're going to esteem me. And if a conflict does arise in the relationship, where there is a different opinion than yours, let your wife know that you're thinking about her opinion and viewpoint rather than just dismissing it. And it can come up where there does come conflict. And because of some differences of backgrounds, differences in the way men and women think, you can just like, she doesn't make any sense. And she can be like, he doesn't make any sense. But you know what? Value the opinion of your spouse. And one of the other things that you can do for husbands is to esteem your wife is to thank her for all that she does. Esteem her for what she does. Don't overlook cherishing her simply for who she is. And you know what? One term, I hate this term, and I know some guys use it. My old lady. She's your wife. She's not some appendage that you've added to yourself. It's your wife. Honor and cherish her. Esteem her. She is valuable. She is a great gift from God. And if she compares herself maybe with someone else, find a way to express to your wife the way you thank her and you're appreciative of her. And I know that that can happen. And your wife might say, you know, as she's opening up and maybe talking about some things that she's struggling with, try to figure out a way to say thank you or appreciate your spouse. And your wife will feel esteemed and cherished and honored when, and here's some points, you say, I'm proud of how you handled that. You speak highly in front of her. You speak highly of her in front of others. You open the door for her. You give her encouragement or praise with kindness and enthusiasm. You notice something different about her hair or clothes. And you are physically affectionate with her in public, like holding her hand or something like that. You teach the children to show her and others respect. And maybe your children would be speaking to your wife in a way that is disrespectful, and you stop them and say, no, that's not how you speak to your mother, how you speak to my wife. You honor her and respect her in a way that she needs to be respected. She ought not to be treated bad by the children. And if she is, you ought to step in and say something about it. You value her opinion in the gray areas as not wrong, but different, and also a valid argument or valid opinion. You choose family outings over sometimes guy things. And there's times, and there's nothing wrong with doing guy things, but there's times you say, you know what, I just want to spend time with my wife, my family. You make her feel first in importance in different things that you do. And you know what, you also express how you're proud of her and all that she does. Whether it's at home with you and the children, whether it's at work, whatever it is, you express an appreciation for your wife. And as you try to meet the needs of each other, you'll begin to see your marriage draw closer. Begin to see a marriage that honors the Lord, and something that'll be pleasing. And not only that, and if you have children, you also see something that your children will years later say, you know what? I learned from my example how to have a good marriage. I learned what I ought to do in marriage because mom and dad exampled it. Maybe mom and dad modeled it. You know what? Sometimes we don't always set a first example, but there's always room for change. There's always a starting point to say, you know what? Maybe we haven't been doing it right, but from this day forward, I commit. Are you going to have still failures? Yeah. There's still going to be conflicts? Yes. But see, as we have also discussed in weeks gone by in the past, it's these conflicts, as you begin to maybe settle down, maybe you take a short time, you know, an hour or whatever, how much time, just kind of calm down, come back together and talk about it. You begin to say, you know what, and that draws you closer together. And so if we think about, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, there's a tremendous sacrificial love. That's what God expects of us. But also God expects husbands to love their wives, and wives to respect their husbands. And when you have that, you begin to get off of, I demand my rights. You hurt me, or you did this to me, and blah, 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 blah. You're not going to find yourself getting off of the crazy cycle. You'll continue on it, and you will continue to find a downward spiral. But if you want to have the energizing cycle, it's saying, you know what, I want to follow God's word. My husband may not necessarily be worthy of the respect, but I'm going to respect him because God gave him to me. I'm going to respect him because he's a gift from God. You know what? I'm going to love my wife. I may not want to express these different ways. Maybe I'm struggling in a particular area, but I'm going to do it because I'm going to honor God. And when you put God first, I guarantee things will change for the better when you're willing to submit your will to God. Let's go to the Lord and ask for his blessing upon this time, and we'll go into our morning service. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the very clear teaching of God's word. Father, and how you have given us truths that will help us in our marriage. Lord, with our children, at work. Father, in many different areas and aspects of our lives, and everything that we need for life, you've given us to us, the principles therein from the Word of God. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for our wives, for those who are married and those who are not married. Lord, may they desire the principles that have been taught with respect to loving the future spouse, respecting the future spouse, whatever the situation is. And Father, would we have a place here at this church, where God, there could be, continue to be, and go forth and have marriages that would honor you. And Lord, we thank you for what a marvelous, wonderful Savior you are. I sure love you. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.